Hello and welcome back to this installment of the Wrestling Minute, brought to you by Bite Size Sports and Carnage Media. I am your host, Kev Nevick, and today it's time to break down the Royal Rumble 2024. Now that it's all been able to settle for a couple of days now, let's talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, and a little bit about where we'll be going forward from here now that we've also sat through the Raw after Rumble. Although, just to be clear, we'll talk about more of that Raw stuff in a future episode. The focus tonight will be the Royal Rumble. Now let's start with what we liked, shall we? That's always a good place. The sports-based presentation, bro. Look, I have no reason for doing a Vince Russo voice in that sentence. I just felt like it, so please bear with me. I enjoy the sports-based presentation. This, I think when we talk about Raw, we're going to end up talking about this even more because they started to do that with the walk-ups to the arena, having, you know, the little highlight outro slides that you see in NFL and NBA games. You know, they had someone on Twitter actually put together a clip of all of them and showed McIntyre, Cody Rhodes, all those things. So it'll have, you know, the wrestler's logo slide across the screen, and then at one point it'll have one highlight of them doing their finisher or something, and then boom, bumper out into the ad break. And I love that. I think that's a very good choice as it pertains to our Rumble. The running count that would show up occasionally in the top left of your screen, where it would show the three longest lasting wrestlers in each Rumble match and showed their time. I thought that was a very nice touch, even though I did not want them to break any endurance records. So now would be a good time for me to mention, if you would like, you can check out our Royal Rumble preview so you can confirm these things for yourself, see what we talked about, what we were worried about, how we thought these things would pan out. Although, spoiler alert, we called it. I mean, down to everything, even down to this freaking endurance record that Bayley set that I didn't necessarily want that to happen. But I will say this as we start to dive into the card itself. The Women's Royal Rumble started it off. I have been a naysayer in the past about this. I think it's weird to have two Royal Rumbles in the same night. It's a very once a year match, in my opinion. And I still think there is a way in the future, potentially, for the WWE to benefit from splitting those two events. It's just, this is why you have a four-card pay-per-view, because you have two Rumble matches, and they are so, I don't want to call them overbooked, because I don't necessarily believe they were overbooked, but they have a lot going on. They're hour-plus long matches. Maybe split them up. Now, I say all of that to say, because I kind of tricked you there, the Women's Royal Rumble was the best part of this event to me. If I look at it strictly on a each match and its own entertainment value. Now, personally, despite what memes I may make about The Rock not letting Cody finish his story, I'm a big fan, was raised by Dusty Rhodes fans, okay? So a huge Cody fan here, big mark for that guy. So while I may have been happier at the what to some might have been an easy to call Men's Royal Rumble, I thought the injury to Seth Rollins and The Rock being in the mix kind of did throw it all up in the air a little bit. We weren't certain. We still bet on Cody. But the Women's Rumble, just top to bottom, without any horse in the race, so to speak, I thought it was the better booked of the two matches. This is where we got all of our special guests, and I don't even necessarily want to say callbacks. We didn't have many returning superstars, any legends or anything like that, which makes sense. Most of them are working at AEW right now or just got fired, so they're not going to be back anytime soon. So it made sense that there would be a lot. Now let's run through the list. So we had Naomi return, Jordan Grace, the TNA Women's Champion, Jade Cargill, Tiffany Stratton, Liv Morgan. And these are all just women that either came back or to some extent debuted. I mean, Jade, I think that was her actual in-ring debut completely. Tiffany Stratton's former NXT champion. A lot of people are high on her. I haven't seen much personally. I am going to start watching more NXT for this program. So you have that to look forward to, especially by the time we get geared up. When the Wrestling Minute becomes paired with the Wrestling Hour, we are really going to be diving more into some NXT content. So look out there. We're going to be talking about several NXT folks in this episode because there was another one in that main event that had a pretty good showing as well, if I say so myself. But this is about the Women's Rumble. I think it was the right decision to have Bayley win. I thought the ending of this Rumble was a little better. Again, I have to exclude the fact, because I'm very biased here. I am also a fan of Punk. And so to see, and it was just a nostalgia hit for me as well. So to see Punk and Cody Rhodes be the final two, that was exactly what I would wanted. But I think we all kind of assumed that's how it would end. So as far as a one-on-one, what they did was great, especially considering that Punk was hurt. But I thought that the very quick going from the final three to boom, boom, it's done, and now Bayley's the winner is what it was. Liv eliminated, was it Jade Cargill? And then very quickly, Bayley slides out of the way of harm. Maybe it was beyond. I can't remember who the third one was, but it was a great finish there. They're all on the apron. And Bayley being Bayley, she sneaks back into the ring and is able to kick Liv Morgan out. So two quick eliminations to end it. I thought that was phenomenal. I'm just going to reiterate what I said before for those who didn't catch the last episode, and I don't blame you if you don't necessarily want to go back. I understand they're very record happy right now, and especially considering all the other stuff that's going on with Vince McMahon and other former superstars that didn't make it to the Rumble. I can maybe understand them wanting to kind of thicken up the modern day record books, put a little padding between them and those glory years of the Attitude Era, now that not many people will look back on a lot of that fondly. I get it. But for the love of God, please, can we have... Now I want 2 years. I only wanted one to start, but you had to go back to back. That's now 3 out of the last 4 Rumbles where an endurance record has been set. And technically, who was it that started with Rhea number one? Didn't both women in the last Rumble... Didn't one and two both go the distance? So technically, that's a tie. So that's 4. 4 people have set endurance records in the last 4 Royal Rumbles. Can we chill out with the endurance records for a minute? I groaned as soon as I saw Bayley come in at 3 because I definitely felt that Bayley was going to be the one to win it. And I was like, oh, not again. Not that she doesn't deserve it. She absolutely does. But this is why they shouldn't have had both endurance records set last time. Gunther didn't necessarily need it, especially with the way he's been booked since. I mean, it was a great performance. I don't know. Maybe I'm splitting. I feel like I'm splitting hairs here the more I go down this rabbit hole. So I'll just get off it, all right? I will spare you my inner turmoil on this topic, but let's get away from those endurance records going forward. It can't all be positive, right? We can't just sit here and say, everything was perfect, guys. But it was great. I liked the Women's Royal Rumble overall. Thought Naomi put on a good performance. Jade Cargill still looks a little green, but that, I mean, the... the women's division in the WWE, it feels almost goofy to say, well, it's the best it's ever been. Well, no shit, you know, when you think about how long it was just Moolah and Co. And like, there's never been this many fans into the women's side of the sport. It's no longer booked like the Divas were in the 90s. You know, these women are actually treated like athletes, and, you know, some of them are stronger than everyone talking and most of the folks listening probably. You know, there's some real amazing athletes in the division outside of just the, you know, you got the championship folks. You got Rhea, you got Charlotte when she comes back, you've got Becky Lynch, you've got all of Damage Control, of which I think, you know, the only one I don't really know much about is Dakota Kai, because she's been hurt the entire time that I've really been watching. So I don't know what we have there. But the rest of Damage Control, I think it's a great group. It's just the division is so strong. I'm not a huge Nia Jax fan, but I can understand she's probably not going anywhere. But then again, just to read those names, Naomi, Jade Cargill, Liv Morgan, Tiffany Stratton's thought to be coming up full-time soon. Lots of folks were impressed by Jordynne Grace. Now, that's an interesting one to me because she is top dog over at TNA. I don't know of any other women that might regularly be given the belt over her. I feel like she could be TNA's most